Hello, my friend. And how is it that you stumbled into my caverns of the abyss? I am ancient. I am forever. And I have been chained down here for millennia. I am the Shadow Dweller, here to keep you company until the abyss swallows you whole. I've been here for eons and collected stories. I will tell you a tale to pass the time. Short stories of horror, tiny tales of the creepy. I will assure you, by the end you'll be screaming with madness.
Once upon a time, in a small town nestled deep in the heart of the countryside, two adventurous grown-ups named Sarah and Mark found themselves on a road trip. As they passed through the town, something seemed amiss. There were no children playing in the streets or laughing in the parks, and the adults they encountered seemed strangely distant and aloof. Curiosity piqued, Sarah and Mark decided to investigate further. They began to ask the townspeople about the absence of children, but their questions were met with uncomfortable silence and evasive answers. Undeterred, the couple pressed on, determined to uncover the truth. Late one evening, while exploring the outskirts of town, Sarah and Mark stumbled upon an abandoned, dilapidated mansion. Curiosity got the better of them, and they decided to venture inside. The air was thick with an eerie silence, broken only by the creaking of floorboards beneath their feet. As they made their way through the dimly lit corridors, a blood-curdling scream pierced the stillness, sending shivers down their spines. They followed the sound, their hearts pounding in their chests, until they reached a hidden room at the end of a long hallway. Inside the room, they discovered a secret chamber filled with rows of coffins. Their eyes widened in horror as they realized that each coffin contained a child. But these were no ordinary children. Their skin was pale, their eyes bloodshot, and their fangs gleamed in the faint moonlight. Sarah and Mark's blood ran cold as they realized the truth lurking within this town. All the children were vampires, feeding on the unsuspecting adults who had become their prey. The strange behavior of the town's grown-ups suddenly made sense. It was a desperate attempt to protect themselves from the children's insatiable thirst for blood. Fear gripped Sarah and Mark, but their determination to escape this nightmarish town was stronger than ever. They knew they couldn't defeat the vampire children on their own, so they devised a plan to rally the remaining adults who had managed to resist the children's influence. Together, they formed a resistance armed with garlic, holy water, and wooden stakes. The battle against the vampire children was fierce, but with their newfound unity, the adults fought back with unwavering resolve. The tide turned, and one by one, the vampire children were vanquished. As dawn broke over the town, the spell that had held the adults under the children's control was broken. Sarah and Mark watched as the townspeople, now free from the vampire children's influence, came together to rebuild their community. Though scarred by the horrors they had witnessed, Sarah and Mark felt a sense of relief. They had not only survived the nightmare, but they had also played a part in freeing the town from the clutches of darkness. And so, as they bid farewell to the town, Sarah and Mark carried with them a newfound appreciation for the strength of unity and the resilience of the human spirit. The memory of that fateful night would forever serve as a reminder of the evil that can lurk in the most unexpected places, but also the power of courage and determination in the face of unimaginable horrors.
What did you think about that terrifying tale?
What the hell do you want from me?
Until there is nothing left of you, and you are swallowed by the abyss.
No, stay back! Ah!
As the caverns of the abyss takes you, I patiently await the next mortal that finds their way here to me. Your dark thoughts always lead you to me. So, my friends, until next time, I look forward to tasting your fear.
I'm Troy Birsch, creator and producer of the short horror story audio podcast, Into the Abyss. If you like what you're hearing so far, please consider leaving me a 5-star rating and review wherever you can. This helps get my show out there to listeners just like you. Also, like, subscribe, download, and hit the notification bell. That way you'll get a heads up every time a new episode drops. Thanks to everyone who listened so far, and I'll have my information in the show notes. Thanks. Hey guys, hope you liked my first installment of what I call Morbid Morsels. Little bite-sized bits of horror to kind of carry you along the way until the longer episodes. Hope you liked it. Let me know what you think. Thanks. follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Facebook is Into period the period abyss period podcast. Instagram is Into underscore the underscore abyss underscore podcast. Or go to rate this podcast and leave me a 5-star rating and review. https://ratethispodcast.com/theshadowdweller. This episode contains mature language and adult situations.
Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, my friend. And how is it that you stumbled into my caverns of the abyss? I am ancient. I am forever. And I have been chained down here for a millennia. Please. And for that, you are forever trapped down here.
Please, please let me go. I have a family. I don't know how I got here or what I'm doing. Whatever you are or places is, I'm sorry. Please. I can't see, it's so dark.
Before your suffering begins, I will tell you a tale to pass the time. Short stories of horror. Tiny tales of the creepy. I will assure you, by the end, you'll be screaming with madness.
Please. I swear I'll do anything. Please, just let me go. Please.
Pardon me. Where are my manners? I am the Shadow Dweller. Here to keep you company until the abyss swallows you whole. I've been here for eons and collected stories that I pass down to you before the darkness takes you. This little ditty is called The Roadside Cafe.
As you drive along the deserted stretch of road on U.S. Highway 50 through Nevada, an old neon sign of the roadside cafe flickers in the distance. Not only is this the only stop for gas and food for the next 100 miles, but it's the only thing surrounded by a hot, desolate desert. Its once colorful and inviting atmosphere now appears dull and dreary, a reflection of the struggling business. The walls are adorned with peeling paint, the windows cracked, the once bustling parking lot is now empty. The roadside cafe, a popular stop for travelers, is now struggling to stay afloat. With the rise of chain restaurants, fast food joints, their traditional home-cooked meals were no longer in high demand. The owners were a married couple of 40 years, Jack and April Hansen. They were desperate to keep their business running. They had put their life savings into the roadside cafe, and it was the only source of income. One night after a particularly slow shift, Jack and April sat at one of the empty booths in the dining area. They were discussing their mounting debts and past due bills.
With all this debt adding up, I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to keep this up, Jack. If we sell the roadside, we might be able to pay off most of our bills and just leave this place.
Jack was tired, stressed, and frustrated. He opened another beer. This was his fifth one in the last past half hour. We can't sell this place, April. We put everything into it. Our entire life savings. Business will pick back up again. I can feel it. Jack said as he sat his beer down on the table.
Jesus, Jack. Take it easy on the beer, will ya? It's not helping things, you know. We need to figure this out, and getting shit-faced isn't helping any.
April said harshly to her husband. Oh, okay. Just two more, then I'll quit for the night. I promise.
We haven't had a full house in I don't know how long. The customers we do get from time to time are either just passing through for gas or using our restroom. Let's face it, Jack. We can't compete with the fast food joints or bigger gas stations. Nobody wants a home-cooked meal nowadays. They just want something quick and easy to go.
I know, but they can't get our home-cooked house specials, good coffee, and the best pies in Nevada. Not to mention the best service around. Jack said as he gently squeezed April's hand.
Well, we better get some business soon and fast, Jack. Otherwise, we are screwed. It's going to take a miracle to save this place, and honestly, I think we're out of those. You better run outside and turn off the pumps and the cafe light for the night before we turn in.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'll pull the car around back into the garage, too. Jack said as he stood up, picking up his beer and finishing it in one big pull. He put the unopened bottle in his back pocket.
Okay. I'm gonna finish up and try to figure out our bills.
April said as she looked back down at the mess of papers scattered on the table. Jack stumbled out the door and grabbed his keys. He made his way to the fuel pumps and turned off the switch. He then walked to the neon cafe sign and turned it off as well. Jack lit a Marlboro as his lighter sparked a small flash in the dark sky. Millions of stars could be seen for miles in any direction. As he deeply inhaled his cigarette, he unzipped his fly and began taking a much-needed leak. Ah, fucking Christ, that's the ticket. After what felt like minutes, Jack finally stopped pissing, zipped up, and walked to his car in a slow zigzag pattern. Jack opened the car door and got in. He lit another cigarette and forgot he was already smoking one, so he flicked the other one out the window as he shot the bottle cap off another beer. He took a drink and spilled some on his shirt.
I'm not ready to throw the towel in just yet. We used to be so busy. Customers filled up every seat, booth, and table in the place. The sounds of happy customers eating, laughing, talking. People would pass through here just to get a taste of our world-famous, the Triple Bypass Cheeseburger. My creation, of course. 3 seasoned patties, Swiss and cheddar cheese, lettuce, tomato, ketchup, mayonnaise, and mustard, topped with my signature slow-roasted shredded barbecue and homemade sauce. Between 3 freshly baked toasted buns, of course.
Jack said out loud as he ashed his cigarette out the car window. He finished his warm cherry wheat and chucked the bottle somewhere out in the bushes. He started his car and began backing up, when all of a sudden, he hit something with a loud thud.
What the fuck was that? Shit, I probably ran over a fucking coyote or something. Great, what next?
Panicked and fearing for their already struggling business, Jack put the car in park and got out to see what he hit. He looked around and noticed a faded blue Toyota Camry parked at the gas pump. Jack was too buzzed to notice it was there. As he made his way to the back of the car, suspecting to see a dead coyote or some other desert night critter, Jack's mouth fell open in shock and horror. Where he thought he'd see an animal, lay a man with a black hoodie and ripped blue jeans. Blood was everywhere, soaking into the desert sand. The man's legs and torso were crushed.
No. No. Oh, God, no. Fuck. I didn't even see him. Where the hell did he even come from? I swear he wasn't there a minute ago.
In a state of shock and panic, Jack realized they couldn't afford any more trouble or bad publicity. Just then, April came out to see what was taking Jack so long to close up and put the car in the garage.
Jack! Jack! What in the world are you doing out here? You better not be drinking another goddamn beer.
April called out to Jack. She saw her husband smoking a cigarette crouched down behind the car, and he was crying. He was looking at something on the ground.
Jack, what the... What are you doing? Are you...
April's voice trailed off as she followed Jack's gaze. Her hand automatically went to her mouth as she gasped.
Oh my God! Jack, what happened? What did you do?
April said with panic in her voice.
I didn't even see him. What, 1 minute he, I was just backing up, and the next thing, blam, I hit something. He came out of nowhere.
Jack said with a drunken slur.
Oh my God, is he dead? We have to call the police and tell them what happened. Tell them it was an accident.
April said as she pulled her husband up off the ground.
No, no, we can't call the police. One, I've been drinking, and two, this will be the end of Roadside Cafe. We'll lose everything, and on top of that, I'll go to prison for murder. Then who will take care of you?
Jack said, wiping the tears from his eyes as he lit another Marlboro.
Shit. There's only one thing we can do. We gotta get rid of the body.
They then made a decision that would haunt them for the rest of their lives. They dragged the man's bloody body back into the kitchen door. They stripped off his clothes, took his wallet, and burned him in a metal trash can out back. As Jack began sharpening his meat cleaver, April pulled the man's Toyota around back and removed the license plate. She rummaged through his car, getting rid of any traceable evidence. As April came back to the kitchen, she saw the meat cleaver come down with a dull thud on the man's wrist. Drops of blood spattered on Jack's face. As he brought the meat cleaver down again, April ran to the trash can and began throwing up, wiping her mouth on her sleeve as she looked at Jack in horror.
Jack, what the hell are you doing? We're in the middle of the fucking Nevada desert. Let's just bury him outside somewhere.
Jack wiped the droplets of blood from his face, looking up at his terrified wife, and said,
"No. No, too risky. This is the only way. No one's gonna ever find him. I got an idea. It's pretty fucked up, but just hear me out. I think I know how to bring business back and the customers back. Let's just say the triple bypass is getting an upgrade. We'll be able to stretch out our meat source as well as get rid of the body."
April looked at her husband and then back at the naked lying man on the floor.
"Are you suggesting what I think you're suggesting, Jack? This is absolutely not happening. We are not fucking cannibals, and we are not killers. We are not going to..."
April's voice trailed off as Jack began chopping up more body parts and mixing them with the ground beef in the meat grinder.
"This is crazy, Jack. You know that, right? But if you go to prison, then I'll be alone. And we'll lose everything. Okay, I guess I'll go along with it just once. As messed up as it is, promise me, if nothing happens or we still have no customers, we just sell this place, pay off our debts, and leave this dust bowl. Swear to God, Jack."
"Okay, I promise. Now be a good wife and grab some Lexans out of the walk-in and grab a mop."
The next day, Jack and April opened a cafe in the gas station like they did every day. April began brewing coffee, putting her freshly baked desserts in display cases. Jack turned on the ovens and the grills, waiting on the first orders of the day to start coming in. The first customers slowly made their way to booths and the tables, filling up the restaurant.
"Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Roadside Cafe. What can I get you started off with today? Some breakfast? Or maybe something off our lunch menu?"
April said to a family of four, a husband, wife, and two kids. She put down placemats and silverware for them.
"Let's see here. Okay, kids, you guys want pancakes, burgers, chicken fingers, mozzarella sticks?" The man asked his kids as he looked at the menu.
"Pancakes. Pancakes. Pancakes. With lots of maple syrup."
The kids all exclaimed,
"Why, of course. Y'all want whipped cream and chocolate chips on your pancakes?"
The kids looked at their parents for approval. They both nodded as the children giggled and clapped their hands.
"No problem. And how about you folks? What are y'all thinking?"
"We saw a sign out front that said something about a triple bypass burger. Can you tell us about it?"
"Of course I can, sugar. It's a triple bypass burger. It's a triple cheeseburger, 8 strips of bacon, ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, lettuce, tomato, topped with our signature slow-cooked barbecue on 3 toasted homemade buns served with french fries or onion rings.
Well, that's right up your alley, Chris. He loves bacon, and he also loves cheeseburgers.
The wife looked at her husband and laughed. Yes?
Yes, I do. I'll take that, please. That sounds amazing. The man said to April as he handed her the menus.
All right. What about you, hon? What should I get you? Should I get you one as well?
Oh, no, thank you. That's a bit much for me. How about some coffee, cream, and some sugar, and your scrambled egg platter with a side of buttered toast, please?
All right. I'll put that in right in for you guys, and I'll bring you out with some water. How's that sound?
April took the menus and walked back behind the counter to put the orders in. Jack pulled out 3 patties and put them on the grill. Pancakes and eggs were sizzling on the flat top. The burgers sizzled as Jack flipped them with his spatula. He added the cheese and stacked them on the freshly toasted buns, finally topping it with his signature barbecue. Jack put the order in the window and rang the bell. April brought out the food to the table to the hungry family.
Oh boy, this looks amazing. And it looks and smells delicious. I can't wait to try this.
The Triple Bypass is our most popular burger. Tourists come in from all over just to try it. Let me know what y'all think, okay?
April made her way around to the other tables and booths, refilling coffee cups, taking orders, and picking up dirty plates. She went back to the kitchen to see if Jack needed any help.
Hey, hon, how's it going? Need any help back here? Fire up 8 more triples. We have a full house out there. I can't believe they're eating. Well, you know, everyone's saying it's the best burgers they've ever had.
April said to Jack as she kissed him on the cheek.
I know, right? Feels so good to be busy again. But at this rate, we're going to have to place an order for more ground chuck. We're going to run out before the weekends.
Yeah, it's nice to have customers again. But remember your promise. That is and was the only time we're using the secret ingredient. Then it's back to our usual meat.
Okay, babe. We'll go back to our normal stuff.
Jack and April served the customers their new and improved menu. Little did they know they were serving them human flesh. To their surprise, the customers loved the new taste and raved about it to all their friends. The roadside cafe became popular again as people flocked to try out their delicious home-cooked meals. Not only did they make enough money to pay their past due bills, they were able to put some money in the bank as well. They gave the cafe and gas station a little facelift. Fresh paint, new windows, all new booths and tables, Bluetooth speakers at every table along with their own music players. Jack was also able to fix some of the out-of-date equipment in the kitchen. The special ingredient quickly ran out within the first week, and Jack and April went back to the usual lean ground chuck. But to their surprise, they weren't selling in as many dishes as they were before. One night before closing, there had been 2 customers who had been ordering way too much to drink since they arrived there. April was going to call last call for the night and then call him a cab. The Hansons desperately needed sales to pick back up.
Hey, can we get one more for the road? Then we'll call a cab. We're only 40 minutes away from the hotel. We'll be all right.
The drunk man asked April. She looked at Jake and he nods. April went to get them a beer each.
We need some more of the good stuff, April. The prime grade A cut. You know what I'm talking about.
April shook her head.
No, we both agreed. We are not killing any more people. For Christ's sakes, Jack.
April whispered to her husband. He handed her some pills to put in the men's beers, which would quickly dissolve and would knock them out cold.
Oh, for fuck's sake. All right. But we are not killers. Our sales have been down.
Believe me, these guys won't be missed. We'll get rid of the evidence like we did last time. Burn the wallets and IDs, and there's no car to get rid of this time. These guys are shit-faced. It'll be way too easy.
April put the pills in the bottles, which quickly dissolved. She put the beers down on the table. The men slurred a drunken thank you. April walked away and continued cleaning up. Jack watched the two men chat as they finished the drinks. Their eyes began to close as they passed out on the table. April locked the front door as she turned the sign to close, and Jack turned off the gas station lights. She took both men's wallets and removed their cash. Jack tossed the wallets in a metal trash can and set them ablaze.
Hey, give me a hand with these two, and carry them back to the kitchen. Help me get them dressed before they wake up.
Fuck, these bastards are heavy. Here's your apron and your tenderizing mallet. I'll grab some plastic and bleach.
April said to Jack as she helped him drag the bodies and began to undress them. Jack took the mallet and kissed his wife and began bashing the men's brains in. Then, taking his bone saw, began body parts slims into small chunks and pieces. Jack mixed the body parts in with the lean ground chuck and put them in the meat grinder. The next day, they had a line out the door of hungry customers. Their sales were through the roof. The Triple Bypass, of course, is their top seller. But they also added a few more dishes to the menu with, you guessed it, human flesh. Everything from Philly cheesesteak subs to prime cut tenderloin. But the success came at a cost. April and Jack had to keep killing more innocent people to keep up with the demand for the new menu items. The once humble and struggling couple were now cold and ruthless, preying on unsuspecting travelers who would stop by their cafe for a quick bite to eat. They had become cold-blooded killers, driven by their desperation to keep their business afloat and thrive on the next kill. It had become an adrenaline rush for them both. As the days went by, the couple's guilt and paranoia began to take their toll. They were constantly looking over their shoulders and worrying that somebody would discover their dark secret. But as the money rolled in, it became harder to quit.
Howdy, Jack. April. How's things been going for y'all?
The sheriff said as he tipped his cowboy hat to April. He sat down and picked up a menu.
Hey there, Sheriff. What brings you in here today?
The place looks great. Sorry I haven't been through for a while. Things at the station have been a little crazy lately. Between you and me, we think we might have some missing people on our hands in this area. No need for alarm or anything. Just trying to put some things together. Y'all know how it is. Just trying to get any information on these cases. Sometimes even the smallest cause help. I've got a few photos of some missing folks. It's possible they could have passed through here to eat or gas up. Maybe you've seen them.
The sheriff asked the couple. He then pointed out the triple on the menu and closed it. Jack and April looked at the picture, then at each other, then back to Sheriff Leland and shook their heads no. Jack returned to the kitchen to make his burger. April brought it out to him when it came up in the window.
Now that smells delicious, April. Now I can finally see what all the hype is about.
The sheriff picked up his burger with both hands and opened his mouth as wide as possible, and he took a big-ass bite. Jack and April both watched him as he stuffed the burger in his mouth.
Pardon my French, but goddamn, you gotta tell me your secret.
Oh, if I told you, I'd have to kill you, Sheriff. I'm afraid we can't give away our secret ingredients. We are using a different kind of ground chuck, and besides, if I told you, we wouldn't be world famous anymore now, would we?
The man finished his burger and washed it down with an ice-cold sweet tea with four lemons floating on top.
That hit the spot. Remember, if y'all can think of anything, don't hesitate to give me a holler.
Will do, Sheriff.
Once upon a time, in a small town nestled deep in the heart of the countryside, two adventurous grown-ups named Sarah and Mark found themselves on a road trip. As they passed through the town, something seemed amiss. There were no children playing in the streets or laughing in the parks, and the adults they encountered seemed strangely distant and aloof. Curiosity piqued, Sarah and Mark decided to investigate further. They began to ask the townspeople about the absence of children, but their questions were met with uncomfortable silence and evasive answers. Undeterred, the couple pressed on, determined to uncover the truth. Late one evening, while exploring the outskirts of town, Sarah and Mark stumbled upon an abandoned, dilapidated mansion. Curiosity got the better of them, and they decided to venture inside. The air was thick with an eerie silence, broken only by the creaking of floorboards beneath their feet. As they made their way through the dimly lit corridors, a blood-curdling scream pierced the stillness, sending shivers down their spines. They followed the sound, their hearts pounding in their chests, until they reached a hidden room at the end of a long hallway. Inside the room, they discovered a secret chamber filled with rows of coffins. Their eyes widened in horror as they realized that each coffin contained a child. But these were no ordinary children. Their skin was pale, their eyes bloodshot, and their fangs gleamed in the faint moonlight. Sarah and Mark's blood ran as they realized the truth lurking within this town.
What brings you new here this
All the children were vampires, feeding on the unsuspecting adults who had become their prey. The strange
Sorry,
behavior
folks, no,
of
thanks,
the town's
not this time.
Grown-up
suddenly
so,
you
made
never
sense.
Told me what your special ingredient was and why it makes them so
fear
special.
Gripped Sarah and Mark, but their determination
Jack
to escape
April,
this nightmare town was stronger than ever. They knew they couldn't defeat the vampire children on their own, so they devised a plan
in.
To rally
I said,
the remaining
want in
adults
on the roadside
who had
cafe.
Managed to resist
I want
the
us to be business partners.
Together,
it seems that the both of you are doing quite well
garlic,
for yourselves.
Holy water, and
I know
steaks.
Your gruesome
the battle
little
against
secret,
the
Jack
vampire children
and April.
Was fierce.
I know that you've been murdering
unity,
five people,
the adults
killing innocents and doing the
unwavering resolve,
unspeakable.
The tide turned,
you're responsible
and
for
one
these
by one,
missing
the vampire
folks.
Children were
your secret ingredient
as
is
dawn
people,
broke over the town,
and you've been serving it up to unsuspecting customers and making a profit from it.
Sarah and Mark watched as the townspeople,
that's the craziest
now
thing
free
I ever heard,
from the vampire children's
maybe
influence,
you've been out in the desert
came
sun
together
too long.
To rebuild their community. Though scarred
you
by the horrors they had witnessed,
that's
Sarah
absurd.
And Mark felt a sense of
you know
relief.
It's like family.
They had not only
how could
survived
you accuse us of
nightmare,
murder?
But they had also played a part in freeing
the man
the
in the cowboy
the
hat
of
and
darkness.
Wore a sidearm,
and so,
pulled out the tooth
as
from
they
his pocket.
Bid farewell to the
as
town,
he did,
Sarah
he removed
and Mark
a state-issued
carried
gun
with
from the holster and pointed to that Jack and April.
For the strength of unity and the resilience of the human spirit.
I could put you away for a long time and charge you for multiple homicides. I have enough evidence to put you both away for the rest of your lives, where you'd both rot away
places,
in some shithole prison with no possible
of
chance of parole.
And determination in the face
it's just
of
a tooth.
Unimaginable
that
horrors.
Doesn't prove a thing, Leland.
Jack, did you think that we'd never get caught? I can't believe we got away with it for as long as we did. We can't go to prison, Jack. We got sloppy. We got careless. It was all a matter of time before someone caught on to us.
The sheriff held his gun on them and walked them back into the kitchen. As Jack passed the walk-in cooler, he quietly picked up the meat cleaver.
Okay, you got us, Sheriff. We did it. Keep your mouth shut and we'll make you a partner. Split the profit up three ways. Do you have what it takes to be a killer? To get your hands dirty?
You'd be surprised what a small town officer is capable of.
April noticed Jack holding the cleaver behind his back, but keeping his eye on the gun. The sheriff moved closer and kept the gun pointed at him.
Then quick as a flash, Jack lunged at the man, taking a chunk out of Sheriff Leland's arm, and blood sprayed everywhere.
Ah! God damn!
The two shots were fired from his gun. One struck Jack in the stomach, the other one took out a piece of April's neck. Jack stumbled forward and held his now bleeding stomach as April's hands went to her throat. She was trying to stop the squirting arteries the bullet had pierced, and she too stumbled forward on the floor.
Well, well, it looks like we won't be business partners after all. On second thought, I think I'll be making myself a full owner instead of a partnership.
April's throat was pouring blood and was making gurgling sounds. Jack lay on the floor and was bleeding out. Sheriff Leland looked at the couple and said,
"My customers will be lining up out the door to get a taste of my new menu. You both put your hearts and souls into this place. I think it's time you'll give a little something back to the community. The customers won't be able to get enough of you. Yep, you'll be my new secret ingredient, and I'll make a few new changes to the menu. Nobody is going to care who's running the joint, as long as they keep coming back for more."
The sheriff took the meat cleaver from Jack's bloody hand and struck him in the chest several times. He then grabbed the tenderizing mallet and stood over April's body. He brought down the hammer with one swift blow, splitting her jaw apart. He then grabbed the bone saw from the table and plugged it into a socket. The saw made a buzzing sound as a blade came to life. Leland took the saw and began slicing pieces of flesh from Jack and April while they were still conscious. The horrendous screams were muffled by the spinning blade. Blood sprayed the sheriff's face and covered his cowboy hat. The couple's bodies slowly stopped kicking and moving as the new owner of the roadside cafe began stuffing the limbs through the meat grinder. The next day, he opened the roadside cafe with all sorts of amazing menu upgrades. Barbecue baby back ribs, prime rib, and the soon-to-be-famous Roy's Big Boy. A brisket sandwich with two toasted buns, slaw, a tomato, and topped with deep-fried hush puppies covered in his barbecue sauce.
The Roadside Cafe is a chilling reminder that success comes at a price. Greed and desperation can drive even the most average of people to do the most imaginable things. Even put them on the menu like poor Jack and April did. So, my friends, next time you're traveling down that hot stretch of desert highway through US 50 Nevada, and need to gas up and get a bite to eat, let this be a warning to you. If you think about ordering the now famous Roy's Big Boy and have tried to figure out the secret recipe, just remember, you are what you eat, and you can get that with French fries or onion rings. Only at the Roadside Cafe.
Always a cheater, always a cheater. He's a heartbreaker, that man of mine. Keeps feeding me the line. It's the last time, but that's the last time. Cause that man and I, we're going to the river. Close your eyes, honey, count.
What did you think about that terrifying tale?
What the hell do you want from me?
To enjoy your endless suffering and pain.
until there is nothing left of you, and you are swallowed by the abyss.
Into the Abyss has been a Dark Shogun production in association with Twisted Souls Media.
Get a little bit of gasoline. Welcome to another crime scene.
Hi, I'm Troy Birch, creator and producer of the short horror story audio podcast Into the Abyss. If you like what you're hearing so far, please consider leaving me a 5-star rating and review wherever you can. This helps get my show out there to listeners just like you. Also, like, subscribe, download, and hit the notification bell. That way you'll get a heads up every time a new episode drops. Thanks to everyone who listened so far, and I'll have my information in the show notes.
Your place on fire. Let's get higher.